So this has been a very busy day in the 2015 mayor's race, even though it's 2014. Ed Delaney, who is running, the first person in the race for the Democratic nomination for mayor of Indianapolis, dropped out today. Didn't even call a press conference, just sent a press release out. He was down to the conference I was at this morning. Didn't bother to tell anybody at the conference he was dropping out. Just sent out a press release saying, I'm not running anymore. He's going to devote his time to the legislative session that's going to come up and be very, very busy. Meanwhile, Reverend Charles Harrison, the pastor of Barnes United Methodist Church, also the head of the Indianapolis 10-Point Coalition, went down to the Marion County Clerk's office, filled out the paperwork to file an exploratory committee to possibly run for mayor of Indianapolis and Marion County in the 2015 election. Pastor Charles Harrison is on our live line. Pastor, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, Amos. How about yourself?
I'm just fine. So, let me give the standard first question to anybody that's thinking about running. Why are you thinking about running for mayor? Why did you create an exploratory committee today?
Well, you know, Amos, I've had the opportunity to serve in Indianapolis in various capacities for the last 21 years. You know, I first got started really involved in the community with Senator Glenn Howard and John Hall, who both were members of my congregation. And, you know, I really care and have a great passion for this city. But yet I feel year after year as I, you know, work in the community and get involved, there are voices that are really not heard in these mayoral elections. And I feel like that we need to hear all of the voices in our community. I think we've had a lot of success in this city, but not everyone has benefited from the economic development and the success that this city has had over the years that I've been here, you know, working under three different mayors. And you know, I'm just feeling like, you know, I'm being led to explore this possibility. You know, maybe I can continue to serve this community in a different capacity, and certainly I want to explore that option.
What, in terms of, you know, if you make the decision to turn this into a full-blown campaign for mayor, what would you be running on? Because there's some people perceiving that you would be just a one-issue candidate or a one-topic candidate. What would, you talked about those voices. What would you, if you were mayor, what would you be doing that's not being done now?
Well, Amos, I certainly want to listen to people in our city, and I want to spend some time just going around the city and listening and talking to people about what are the important issues for them, so that their issues are, you know, are being voiced. You know, we all know jobs and economic development and crime and education. You know, I think even creating more small businesses and helping small businesses flourish and encouraging more people into entrepreneurship. I think all of those are important issues as we help to continue this city to grow and be one of the leading cities, you know, in the country. So certainly I want to use this time to just listen and just hear from the citizens of this community as to what are the important issues that they would like to see lifted up in the mayoral race.
Whenever somebody black has run for mayor, instantly they get tagged with, oh, that's the black candidate. They're only in this race to get black votes. How would you address that?
Well, I hope that my years of service would you know, show people that, you know, I'm not just concerned about the black community. I'm concerned about the city of Indianapolis, and I want to, you know, go around to all sections of our city, to all of our townships, and to let people know, you know, that you know, I do care, and I am concerned, and I'm concerned about their issue, and I will be their voice if I decided to run for mayor as we discuss these important issues in the city.
I understand the importance of going out and talking to the different neighborhoods all throughout the 400 square miles that comprise Indianapolis and Marion County. But I'm a little surprised that I'm not hearing from you what I usually hear for candidates at this point in a mayor's race, when they're at that position, you know, starting the exploratory, and they're trying to make that decision on whether they're going to go. Usually they have some kind of ideas of their own as to what they like to see or what they would do if they are mayor.
Well, some I do, but I think sometimes that's...
Any that you could share with the thousands that are listening right now?
I think that's part of the problem sometimes, and why many people feel like their voices are not being heard, and we have less and less people, voting today. You know, certainly I'm very concerned about the whole issue, you know, of the lack of jobs, the high unemployment, particularly in the African American community, particularly people who are affected are those who are ex-offenders and feel like they have served, their time in prison. They come out, but yet they feel like they have the mark of Cain, and they're not being given opportunities to have full employment. So I think whoever the mayor is of Indianapolis certainly has to address that issue with both the private sector and the public sector, so that every citizen in this city has full access to job opportunities. And certainly I would be an advocate for that with small businesses, with corporations in this city, to give individuals who have not been given the opportunity an opportunity to have full employment. And I don't think the economic development that we have seen in this city, Amos, has always benefited all of the citizens of this city. We see massive economic development in the downtown area, but in many of our neighborhoods across the city, we have not seen that same kind of economic development take place, and certainly they have not benefited from the success that this city has had in certain areas.
Is it fair to say that if you make the decision to run for mayor, based upon some of what you're saying, that you'd be running as a populist, that you'd be running against the entrenched special interests?
I would not necessarily say that. I do think the process, you know, that we have currently, particularly in both of our parties, don't always give people outside of the party to have a voice, you know, when it comes to these important issues that we face in this city.
One of the things that we were going to do today, but the whole Eric Garner thing came up, and then with Terry Curry, and then with your entry into the mayor's race, I'm pushing, sharing with folks the new data on income and poverty at the neighborhood level. But one of the things that struck me when I looked at the data was released publicly this morning in the Census American Community Survey, shows that the neighborhoods with the highest rate of black poverty and the lowest black median household income are neighborhoods where they're not black majority neighborhoods. They're black folks that live in places like literally the South Side, the near east side of the city, not in black majority neighborhoods, but they live there, which is showing me that poverty and low income is spreading into other parts of this city and county that a lot of people don't recognize. You obviously have seen that on the ground. Is that some of the voices you're talking about?
Yes, it is. It really is. You hear that on the ground, you hear that in the streets, and certainly you hear a lot of frustration out there and this sense of hopelessness. I think when you look across the country now at what certainly has happened in Ferguson, what caused that explosion, there is so much hopelessness and despair out there in cities all across the country because they don't really see a future for themselves, and they don't see much hope for their own future. And I think those are the issues that certainly we must address as a city, and whoever the mayor is must tackle those issues so that everyone feels like they are a part of the success of the city.
You would be running for an office that has a budget of controls a budget directly or indirectly that's $1 billion, has several thousand employees. What kind of background and experience would you bring if you're elected mayor to run an enterprise of that size?
Well, I think I bring unique skills to it, and I think certainly not only me, but all of the candidates, that's going to be important for the voters. I think the voters are going to want to make sure that we have the management skills to manage this city well, to help grow this city, and certainly the skills to keep this city safe. And I think once I make a decision, if I make a decision, Amos, to run for mayor, then certainly I must be able to prove to the voters that I have the skills and the ability to run a city that size, this size.
Now, when you went downtown and filled out the paperwork, there was a contested Democratic primary for mayor with Ed Delaney and Joe Hogsett. Literally, I think while you were signing the paperwork, Ed Delaney got out. Does that change the calculus as to whether you're going to run in the Democratic primary, whether you're going to run in the Republican primary? Because I was down at a conference this morning. I kept asking Republicans who's running on your side, they kept looking at me like, going, we don't know. Or the independent. Does Ed Delaney's decision this morning change your calculus any?
Not at all. Not at all. I wasn't surprised that happened. Not at all.
I got to ask you, I pulled up the form.
Okay.
Because you know, everything is disclosable. And I noticed an outstanding, you know, businesswoman as the treasurer of your exploratory committee, and she ran as a Republican for city county council. That may cause some people that look at your paperwork to raise a question. As to, you know, wait a minute, why has he got somebody that ran as a Republican for city county council as treasurer of his exploratory committee?
Well, I have Democrats, Republicans, and independents all working with me and a part of this exploratory process. And I believe I'm a person that is bipartisan, and I certainly believe that if we're going to be successful in this city, then we have to get everybody around the table. And we have to certainly find common ground, because I think the issues that affect this city affect Democrats, Republicans, Independents, and Libertarians. So I'm trying to build a bipartisan team that if I do run, that can address the issues that we face in this city.
I mentioned the size of this city, and I think people who decide to run for countywide office, including the office of mayor, when they start getting out here, they don't realize how big in terms of physical area this city is. And I know you run several miles a day. Are you going to be adjusting your mileage runs? Are you talking to voters while you're running?
Yes, I am.
So if they see a brother down in Franklin Township, that's you.
Yes, yes.
See, that's one way to do it. You don't run. You're walking and you're knocking on the door. Hi.
Yes, yes, yes. I plan to cover a lot of ground, Amos.
Now, obviously, you have been the head of two nonprofit, non-political institutions. One, your church,
yes.
Barnes United Methodist, and 10 Point Coalition. How is the leadership of that going to be handled when you're in this possible transition role as a political candidate?
Well, certainly if I decide to run for mayor, then certainly my role with 10 Point would change, and I would step down on the board. And certainly with Barnes, I would take a leave of absence from the church.
And I understand, since you're Methodist, you know, there's a hierarchy thing.
Yes.
And I understand the United Methodist.
Yes.
Did you have to call the bishop up and say, hey, bishop?
Yes, yes, sir, Amos. Yes, you had to get the blessing from the bishop.
And that's protocol, because there have been, correct me if I'm wrong, other United Methodist pastors who have run for political office in the country, if I remember right.
Yes, you're correct. Yes, you are correct.
Okay.
So for us, that would be an appointment beyond the local church.
Okay. All right. So now my standard closing question with all folks that are getting out here in the political arena: Charles Harrison has an exploratory committee, and what exploratory committee means in English is that is a if people you can contribute to his exploratory committee. That's part of the rules of the game. If people want more information about your exploratory committee for mayor of Indianapolis, how do they get a hold of you?
www.citizenharrison@.net.
All right, so wait a minute. www.citizenharrison.net. CitizenHarrison.net, www.CitizenHarrison.net. He has filed an exploratory committee. He doesn't know whether he's going to run as a Democrat, a Republican, an Independent. Is the Green Party still around? They had a candidate 16 years ago when we had an open race for mayor.
Well, I've heard from everybody, Amos, the Libertarians. I've heard from just about everybody.
Somehow, Pastor, I don't see you as a Libertarian. Because I don't think you're going to hang with the marijuana thing.
I know it.
All right, Reverend Charles Harrison, he has stepped into the arena to explore. When do you think you would make a decision? Because if you have to go with the Democratic primary, you gotta show your cards by mid-February. Is that the deadline for you?
I would say mid-February, late January.
All right, Reverend Charles Harrison, if I don't speak to you before the holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy New Year to you.
Thank you, Amos, so much for having me today. Same to you.